The scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and we read him from verse 14 onwards. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with me at the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." Then they began to question among themselves which of them would be who would do this. Amen.
Good morning, church. It's good to see you here today. This is the third sermon in a series which I've been preaching. For those of you who have been here, you know I preached 3 weeks ago on Pride and Prejudice, looking at the issues of washing one another's feet. Last Sabbath I preached on the crown and the cross, and I want to say thank you to the person who decorated the flowers today. And they look really lovely, and especially the ones outside the door. Thank you very much. Again, thank you to Elizabeth for singing that song. She sung it twice today. So early service and now, so thank you again. And thank you for everybody else who's been involved in preparing for today's service. My sermon title today is When Jesus Proposed Marriage. You're probably wondering, when did he do that? Well, I'd like to share a story with you later on to illustrate how Jesus made that proposal. And just to put a little twist on the communion service this morning. But before we do, let's just pray, shall we? Our Father God in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity of coming together to praise and glorify your name. I ask that your Holy Spirit will be here, present with us, as we partake of the emblems of the bread and the wine, to remember how much you were willing to sacrifice yourself for our sins and for forgiving us for our sins as well. I pray now that your Holy Spirit will anoint me and help me as I share your word with the people, and that you will put your words into my mouth and into my heart, and that those who hear it will be able to put it into practice in their lives as well. Thank you for this opportunity today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Luke chapter 22, 14 to 23 says, "Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes.' And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" I'm sure that many of you here today have taken part in a communion service here, maybe somewhere else also. And I'm sure we understand the symbolism of the bread and of the wine. The bread, of course, represents the broken body of Jesus. And the wine represents the blood that was shed on that cross for the forgiveness of our sins. This morning, I'd like to focus on the cup. And God uses symbols that have great meaning far beyond our initial examination. And as we dig a little deeper, I hope that we can understand how Jesus was able to propose marriage. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 11, Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. It's important for us when we take communion that we make sure that our hearts are right with God and with each other. We've taken the first step this morning in washing each other's feet. The second step is that we make sure that there is nothing between us and God that will stop us from gaining a blessing from partaking these emblems this morning. So, why is it so important that we drink the cup in a worthy manner? What is a worthy manner? What are you saying when you drink this cup? The communion service is mentioned in the Bible, in five books of the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, 1 Corinthians. Each writer mentions different details concerning the communion service. The disciples ate the Passover supper with Jesus, we find in Luke. In John 13, we say that during the supper, he washed his disciples' feet. In 1 Corinthians, Jesus blessed and passed the bread. In Luke 22, Jesus blessed and he passed the cup. John 13, he revealed that Judas would betray him. In Mark 14, Jesus predicted what would happen that night. In John 14, Jesus said he was going to prepare a place for us in heaven. In John 13, Jesus shared his last words with his disciples. Matthew tells us that they sang a hymn, they went out. And then John 18 tells us they all went with Jesus except Judas Iscariot to the Garden of Gethsemane. To understand this ceremony of drinking the cup better, I would like to share with you what happens when an ancient Jewish marriage ceremony took place in biblical times. But before I do, you need to know that the Bible likens the church of his faithful people to Jesus' bride. Paul says this in Romans 7, verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. And in 2 Corinthians, he says this, the thing that has me so upset is that I care about you so much. This is the passion of God burning inside me. I promised your hand in marriage to Christ, presented you as a pure virgin to her husband. So in these verses, Paul is representing the church as the bride and Jesus as the bridegroom. When a young Jewish man came to marriageable age in Jesus' time, it was the father of the young man who would select the bride for his son. His son had some say, but not a lot. The bride was not in on this decision process. Once the bride-to-be was selected, and the father of the man and the father of the girl had made proper arrangements, then the young man would travel to the young woman's house and negotiate with the girl's father and or her brothers. He was to bring four things with him. One was the betrothal covenant. Secondly, he brought the bride price, which is money. Thirdly, a skin of wine. And fourth, he brought gifts for the bride. The betrothal covenant stated his intentions to his bride, his promises to her father concerning her, his ability to care for and keep the to keep her, sorry, the price he was willing to pay for her hand in marriage. The young man would have worked long and hard on this covenant to ensure that he had thought long and hard about his future responsibilities as a husband. The bride price was no modest token. It was says it was the equivalent of a year's wages that he paid for her. With the bride price, the young man was to buy the girl symbolically from the family. And then she belonged to him. It also showed his love and willingness to sacrifice on behalf of his chosen one. And the negotiation would often take days, even months. Only after the girl's father was satisfied with the bride price and the covenant was the young man allowed to see his future bride. Just as the groom and the father of the groom chose the bride, the Bible says to us in John 15:16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." So too, just as when the bride had been purchased, she belonged to her betrothed husband, so you and I belong to Jesus. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. "Do you not know," he says, "that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you are from God? And you are not your own," he says, "for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And of course, the bride price which Jesus had purchased us with is much greater than a man's wages. Peter says this in 1 Peter 1. He says, "Knowing that you were redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot." Once the bride price and the betrothal covenant were approved, the young man would go into the girl. He would open a skin of wine, pour the wine into a glass. He would then take a sip from that glass, and he would offer the glass of wine to the future bride. And if she was willing to take the glass and drink the wine, that cemented that future relationship. In essence, he was saying, when he gave her the glass of wine and asked her to drink it, he was saying, "Will you marry me?" Very convenient for men who are little, don't like to talk very much, just to say that. But this was the moment of truth. If she drank the wine, and she drank all of it, including the dregs, which showed that she was willing to take the good with the bad. A bit like in marriage today, when we say to our loved one, "I take you for better or for worse." And if she drank all of it, there was much rejoicing. Remembering our opening passage, Jesus said, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes.'" And in Matthew 26, verse 27, he says, "Drink from it, all of you." You see, dear friends, when we celebrate the communion service and we take the cup, not only are we remembering the price that Jesus paid for our redemption, but we are, in a sense, symbolically saying to him, "Yes, I will be your faithful bride. My life from now on will be devoted to you. I accept your proposal. But the ceremony didn't end there for the bride and the groom, neither does it end there for you and I. After the young woman drank all of the wine and emptied the glass, the young man would say to her, I'm going to my father's house to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return again to you. Have you heard that before? When the young man left his bride's father's house, he would not see the bride again until he had built a new room onto his father's house for them to inhabit. And Jesus made the same promise, didn't he, in John 14, verses 1 to 3. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. During this time of waiting, nobody knew when the wedding would take place. Only the groom's father knew when the hour or the day would be when he would allow his groom to get his bride. And that's interesting because the Bible says to us there in John, in Matthew 24, Jesus says, no one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but my Father only. Whilst the groom went to make a home for her bride during the time of waiting, she kept constantly ready. She made sure everything was in readiness at a moment's notice for the wedding, because she didn't know when the time would come. When the groom's father was satisfied that all the preparations were properly made, he would then give the go-ahead for the wedding to take place. The wedding procession usually took place in the middle of the night. The best man would blow the shofar or the ram's horn, and he would shout his announcement, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And the bridegroom would lead the procession to the bride's father's house, where the bride would be waiting. He didn't need to go inside to get her, because she was already outside. She heard the lamb's horn. She heard the people coming along to her house. She came outside. She was ready and waiting to meet the bridegroom. When they arrived at the groom's house, they would enter the bridal canopy. They would exchange their vows before the rabbi, after which the couple would enter the room that the groom had prepared for them and be there with her for 7 days. And then they would join the guests at the feast. They had a long wedding feast back then in the time of Jesus. It wasn't just like we do. We have an afternoon or a morning. We meet together just for a lunch or a meal. It was going on for days and weeks sometimes back then in the time of Jesus. Right now, you and I are in the waiting period. Jesus is preparing a place for us in his heavenly kingdom. This is what God's word says. The way he prepares a place is by preparing us. We should be focusing on being ready to meet our bridegroom. Are we ready to meet Jesus? Are our garments ready? One day soon, the Father will say to his Son, Jesus, okay, Son, it's time for the wedding. Go and get your bride. And Jesus will come back to this earth as he promised us. He will come again and receive his bride to himself. John says this in Revelation 19, verses 6 to 9. Then I heard the sound of mass choirs, the sound of a mighty multitude, the sound of strong thunder. Hallelujah! The Master reigns, our God, the Sovereign Strong. Let us celebrate, let us rejoice, let us give Him the glory. The marriage of the Lamb has come, His wife has made herself ready. She was given a bridal gown of bright and shining linen. The linen is the righteousness of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he said, these are the true words of God. My friends, Jesus is coming very soon. He's only waiting for his Father to say, go and get your bride. The rooms are being prepared. The time for us, the waiting, we need to be watchful. We need to be ready for when he comes in the clouds of glory. When we take the emblems of the bread and wine this morning, I want you to think about how Jesus wants you to be his bride. Let us keep watching and waiting for him, so that when he does come, he will have the privilege of saying, come. Come to my Father's kingdom, which is being prepared for you. Because this is what Jesus wants for you. Amen.